Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy grew at a 4.1% annual rate in the third quarter, stronger than previously estimated, as new data showed consumer spending accelerated in the summer. The Commerce Department previously pegged the annual rate of growth at 3.6% for the July through September time frame. The revision reflected higher household spending across the board. Households stepped up purchases of big-ticket items such as refrigerators, daily items such as gasoline, and on services, including health care. China today confirmed that it has, to date, rejected 545,000 metric tons of U.S. corn after finding cargoes with unapproved genetically modified traits. The corn was found in 12 batches of U.S. shipments. The shipments contain MIR-162, an insect-resistant strain permitted in the U.S. and Europe, but not approved by China's agriculture ministry. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 180,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to China during the 2014 and 15 marketing year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 16,246. It's up almost 68 points. The NASDAQ 4,078 is up about 20.5, and the S&P 500 is 1817, and it is up just over 7 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Leonard.
Today's forecast in the Midwest has not changed greatly from that of the past couple of days. We're still looking at a major winter storm bearing down on the region from now into Sunday. The storm system promises to produce a considerable amount of precipitation in the forms of rain and snow, and even a band of significant ice expected. The heavier rains are going to come out of the Delta and move through the lower and eastern portions of the U.S. Midwest, and those areas will see 1 to 3 inch accumulations of rainfall, with some local totals perhaps getting over 4 inches. The storm will also produce a significant amount of snow, beginning in northwestern Oklahoma and a part of the northeastern Texas panhandle in southwest Kansas, and from there extending through a fair amount of northeastern Kansas and northwestern Missouri to Wisconsin and portions of western Michigan. Snowfall across this heavy band will likely run from 3 to 8 inches, and local totals will get over 10 inches. Most of the freezing rain and wintry mix of precipitation types will occur just to the southeast of this heavy snow band and to the northwest of the heavier rain, which will include areas from central Missouri into portions of southeastern Michigan. Some of the icing will be rather significant, and there will be some power outages and some travel issues, not only because of the freezing rain and sleet, but also because of the heavy snow that's expected out there across the central plains. This particular storm system will manage to produce also a considerable amount of temperature contrast across the region. That introduces the risk of severe thunderstorms. Temperatures will be in the 60s and 70s in the Delta and the southeastern states over the next couple of days, with a few areas possibly coming close to 80 degrees. The heat that will contrast greatly from bitter cold temperatures that will be present in the western Corn Belt. Some of those western areas will see highs limited to the positive single digits and teens over the next couple of days. And as we go into the nighttime hours, late this weekend into early next week, we're going to find sub-zero temperatures coming across much of the western and central portions of the Midwest, including areas as far south as northern Missouri and northwestern Illinois, maybe even part of northwestern Indiana. There will be sufficient snow on the ground in most of the soft wheat areas in the Midwest to protect crops there, but we do expect a potential problem for areas in Nebraska, where northern Nebraska and maybe even northwestern Kansas and northeastern Colorado will not have much, if any, snow on the ground, and temperatures will be near the damage threshold for winter wheat. Now, with that said, the crop is sufficiently hardened and is in a good shape. I think in general it was established well enough that the damage potentials are probably low. This event would be no more significant than that which occurred a few weeks ago when a similar situation occurred across some of this region. In the meantime, in South America, Argentina continues to deal with some dryness, and heat stress is going to become more significant as we move forward through these next several days. The hottest weather will occur Sunday through Tuesday. During that period of time, we're going to see extremes getting upward into the range of 95 to 105 degrees, with some extremes maybe up to around 108. That will be quite stressful for some of these areas that are drying down. The latest soil moisture assessment shows that the topsoil is now void of any real usable moisture, and crops are fully dependent now on subsoil moisture, which is still rated favorably. And as we go forward through the middle to latter part of next week, Argentina will pick up on some needed moisture and will likely see some temporary relief. But don't look for that to last long. The ridge of high pressure will be back again a week from today and lasting through December 29th. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter wheat, the May contract, 657 and a half, up 3 3/4. July, 657 and a half, up 3 1/2. Soft May wheat, 620 and a half, up 3. July, 624 and a half, up 3 1/2. March corn, 431, up a half. July, 446 and a quarter, up 3/4. January soybeans, 1339, now 39 3/4, up 12 3/4. July, 1299 and a half, up 6 1/2. January soybean meal, $4.47.10, up $5. January soybean oil, $39.35, up 2 cents. December live cattle, $132.20, up 40. January feeders, $166.65, down 15. And February lean hogs are $86.22.5, and they are down 15. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Seems like traders are less likely to click at the moment.
Yeah, they're kind of in the holiday mode here, that's for sure. We've kind of been very slow on the corn market. The bean market has kind of made some moves up and down, but we're kind of right back in the same place that we were when we started the week, pretty close. There are some interesting things. Japan bought some corn here this morning, and just looking at some stuff yesterday, actually the price of corn, like versus the Black Sea stuff right now, is U.S. corn is cheaper than Black Sea corn, which is kind of unusual for what we've been seeing this year. And that's kind of interesting, because like Brazil, they pretty much committed their port capacity to beans, to getting beans out of the country here. In Argentina, they've kind of been going through a drought situation somewhat, and the farmers there are hanging on to the corn they've got left pretty tight. So really, right now, the U.S. is kind of where the corn market is, and that may help exports a little bit as we look down the road.
So the question is, will futures rally through the end of the year? And if we were to see, a March corn contract, for example, get back up to 442, and basis still hasn't fallen out of bed because the January contracts haven't come online yet, where people have to deliver for the January contract, is there a little window in there to do some marketing, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got a pretty good chance on the corn to see a little bit of short covering going into the end of the year here. And if we do, I think that's probably an opportunity to make some sales if you're looking for a point to make some. Up in that area, you're talking about 440 to 445. I think we do even have the possibility of, going, and if we can get some kind of fundamental news that's encouraging, maybe even get the funds that are short a little bit nervous and maybe even make a move up to 450 on the March. But I think it takes some kind of, you know, news out there to do that, and I don't anticipate that necessarily.
Meanwhile, the beans go sideways, and if you wanted to look at, I suppose, new crop sales, 14 sales, it's not such a bad place to begin, I would think.
No, I've been kind of looking at 1150 on the cash for fall of 14, and I think that's a pretty good target, and we've gotten there a few times, and you know, I think that's a profitable level, and I guess I personally still have some concerns about the amount of bean acres that we're going to have this coming year, depending, of course, on what our spring does. But I'm a little bit more, see a bigger switch from corn to beans than maybe some of the analysts do.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave. I just wish all the listeners a good Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And a Happy New Year to you too, Bill.
Thank you.
That's Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace: March corn, 431 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. July, 446 and three quarters, up 1 1/4. January soybeans, 1339 and three quarters, now a half, up 12 1/2. July at 1299 and three quarters, up 6 3/4. January soybean meal, 447.10, up $5. And January soybean oil, 39.39, up 6. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.